This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Good morning. Welcome to Senate Local Government. Special greeting to those listening over the internet. If you plan on testifying this morning, please be sure and sign in at the podium by the front door. And if you have electronic devices with you, please be sure and put them on mute. Otherwise, you may qualify for a $20 donation to Teen Challenge. At this time, we'll go ahead and see if we have a quorum. Please call the roll, Secretary.
Senator Kamak.
Here.
Hewing.
Here.
Shane Fish.
Here.
Wismer.
Here.
Youngberg. Excused. Duhamel.
Here.
Jensen.
Here.
Since we have a quorum.
We do have a quorum. Okay. I believe we have some minutes from the 24th that need approved.
So moved.
Second.
Have a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting on the 24th by Senator Duhamel, second by Senator Kamak. All in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those against, nay. Minutes are approved. Okay. We have a couple of pages. Would you be so kind as to come up here? I know you love this part of it, but just tell us a little bit about yourself and what your plans are. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Avery Weinheimer, and I'm from Oneida, South Dakota. A little bit about me is I grew up on a small town farm, and I am planning on going to SDSU in the fall for entrepreneurial studies.
Very good. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Riley Briggs. I'm from Pierce, South Dakota. I plan on going to Lake Erie Tech for human resources.
Great. Very good. Thank you for serving us this week. Okay, are any personal privileges from committee members? Seeing none, we'll jump right in. First bill up this morning is House Bill 1166 to revise provisions regarding the appointment of inactive watershed district boards and the reactivation of watershed districts. Do we have any proponents? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Kyle Shane Fish, Senator for District 19. 46A-14 provides a process for filling vacancies on a watershed board. What there isn't a process for if all the members of that board are no longer, if the board is vacant completely, if the members have passed away. Watershed districts allow residents to implement water management initiatives that are narrowly tailored to a specific watershed, and many of them were formed back in the 50s and 60s. In the 70s and 80s, when South Dakota got drier and the management of water wasn't needed as much, many of the districts stopped meeting, and all the managers have since passed away. But the watershed districts still exist. And so what we're looking to do with this bill is find a way to, you know, just if those water districts want to be active again and do some management plans, they'll have a process for doing that. And there is an amendment just to clarify that the watershed districts have to comply with the different tax levy provisions, and if it'd be appropriate to move it at this time, I'd ask the committee to do that.
So moved.
Second.
1166A.
Okay. We have a motion to amend House Bill 1166 with 1166A by Senator Duhamel, second by Senator Kamak. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
1166 is amended. Okay. Any further comments? Go ahead.
Thank you. There's some people here to testify kind of on their own specific situation, so I'll let them go next.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Angela Ehlers. I represent South Dakota's conservation districts, and we do rise support in support of 1166 as amended. The amendment, first a little history about watershed districts. As Senator Shane Fish indicated, they were formed primarily in response to a federal law called Public Law 566, which is the Small Watershed Project Act. And basically what it allowed is for small watersheds. The largest watershed district in the state is 150,000 acres. The smallest is 2,000. And it was to address immediate needs within that watershed district and then to apply for federal assistance. And these are taxing authorities. So they could then provide create that local match that we need in order to meet federal requirements. And it was to basically do watershed rehabilitation structures. There were about 26 of them formed in the state at the time. The last one was formed actually in 2014, and that is Mud Creek Brown County Watershed District. We also have a Mud Creek Grant County Watershed District. But they basically did dams, grade stabilization structures, levees, floodwater retraining structures, those types of activities in order to control mostly flooding issues. As Senator Shane Fish indicated, once these big structures were created, then it was up to the districts, watershed districts, to maintain them. We ran into some dry years. Things didn't need to be maintained so much. The boards, of course, then became inactive in some areas. Well, the last few years have not exactly been dry, as many of you can tell, and we've had some structures fail. And there are two representatives from the Lower Big Sioux Watershed, River Watershed District, that will explain to you some of the issues they've had down there. And they realized that the Watershed District no longer had a board in force to maintain their own structures. And, of course, they own these structures, so there is a liability issue with that, too. So as we looked at ideas, and to be honest, we rewrote the law on watershed districts in 2014, we didn't think about reactivating districts. So this is an opportunity for us to set a policy for four or five districts in the state and get them reactivated if they want. What you see when we testified in the House, the Department of Environment and Natural Resources was opposed. Representative Anderson and Secretary Hunter Roberts discussed some potential legislation, which is what you see in the amendment. And I'd like to explain the amendment a little bit to you. According to the state law that the watershed districts have, when they're first formed, they have to write a comprehensive water management plan. And that then lays out everything they need to accomplish the purpose of the watershed district. And then that board, that plan is submitted to the Board of Water and Natural Resources for review. And the Board of Water and Natural Resources has 30 days to review it and make recommendations. This basically says the reactivated watershed district has to do that, which what I expect they would want to anyway, because their old plan is 60 years old. Then they can take a vote of the affected landowners, and it's a 60% vote to implement a tax levy. And that's also within there. What we've also added into this is that because there is no current tax levy, that the property tax freeze does not apply for the first 3 years, which we often do with new districts. Because if you have no tax levy and you can only increase at the maximum 3%, 3% of zero is still zero. So you need to, they got a 60% vote for the tax levy, allow them to implement that for the first 3 years, and we go down to they have to follow the property tax freeze requirements. And then also because there is a potential for spring flooding, especially in some of these, we'd also thought it would be appropriate to put an emergency clause so they can get to work as soon as possible upon the signature of the governor passage and the signature of the governor to go to work getting the plan written and start identifying how to fix the levees that have already broken. So I have a letter here for the pages. All of this is done through the Conservation District, in this case Union County Conservation District. And this just indicates their willingness. They would hold the hearing that's mentioned here. They would notify the landowners, hold the hearing, and the conservation district would, as they do in the creation of a new district, appoint an interim board until the next election. So with that, I will turn it over. I'm open for questions, and I'll turn it over to other people who wish to speak.
Thank you. Further proponents? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, committee. My name is Alex Masteller, and I'm an attorney that represents the individuals seeking to repopulate the Lower Big Sioux Watershed District in Union County near Elk Point. The first two proponents covered a vast majority of what I felt were the important points. And so with the respect of your time, I'll only make a couple brief points. The first being that watershed districts are a creature of statute only. There's no powers that they have that aren't listed in the statute. And so when the statute is silent on repopulating the board after everybody quits or passes away, there is no other way to do it, despite it being a perpetual entity registered with the South Dakota Secretary of State. There is a provision in there that says if someone quits the board, the other board members get to fill that vacancy. So right now, what we're just asking for is local control The local conservation district can reappoint the members of the board so they can get to work mitigating their flood damage. And right now, that's been more important in the last 5 years than it has in probably the last 25 years. But and some of my individuals here will come up and tell you, and they got a couple photos so you can see that. But the analogy that came to mind most effectively here is that we have a car in the driveway, but we don't have the keys for it. We have this entity, we have this ability to control local water, but we don't have any way to have a meeting. And so with this, we'd be able to have a meeting, get an election, start working, start taking control locally of the flooding issues. So with that, I'll have the individual step up.
Thank you. Further proponents? Morning.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Robert Walsh, and I'll be speaking on behalf of the members of the Lower Big Sioux Watershed District. Don't worry about the packet. I'm only going to refer to the very last picture with the red pickup in it. The Watershed District was initially an association started in 54, and then in 1963, it became formally established as a watershed district to work in coordination with the Army Corps of Engineers on large-scale flood control projects and the existing and being upgraded levee systems. In the end, only a small portion of the large-scale flood control project was completed, and by the 1970s, the levee system had no enemy anymore. The floods were gone, and the Board of Managers had moved along to water irrigation projects. Fast forward into the 90s, it started getting wet, and when a little bit of maintenance needed to be done on the levee system, it was done by the private landowners at their own cost, because it was who of them to fix those levees. Starting in 2010 through in 14 and 18 and in 19, we've received four massive floods in that decade, resulting in approximately $10 million of crop loss each of those years. That does not account for the loss of public infrastructure, gravel roads, county roads, and other public infrastructure such as that. We're one of the few areas of South Dakota that actually have a levee system. The North Sioux City, Sioux Falls, and the Lower Big Sioux River are some of the very few areas that are protected by a levee system. And those are currently on private land and being maintained privately, and they provide a very large area that's special to us for 100% of our flood protection. Right now, there's no guidelines that any particular person has to follow to repair and maintain those guidelines. They can do it as best as they can afford to do, and that most people try to do what they can. It's a very financial burden to the individual landowners, and probably more so it's a stressful burden, because a lot of homeowners rely on those levees to be fixed, and they want them fixed. As an example, there was a breach this last year on a quarter mile of levee on a private landowner. It flooded that landowner's 160-acre farm, and that water continued to spread across 2,000 acres of other land, including six homeowners. And fortunately, in that case, the farmer was able to repair the levee and upgrade it and add 2 feet to it, but that doesn't happen everywhere. And for the most part, the levee system is now in very poor shape after four massive flooding events. Where we're going with this is, once activated, the Lower Big Sioux River Watershed District would work with the Corps of Engineers to take an inventory of the existing levee system so we know what we have, and then take operational control of the levees to repair, maintain, and upgrade the levees as time and money would allow. It would also allow us to qualify for federal disaster, which we don't, and that's where that red picture comes in. There is a red pickup on the last page. The grass levee on that last page is operated by the Lewison Ditch, which is a public entity that is receiving FEMA money currently for some jobs that need to be repaired on it. The brown levee is the Big Sioux River levee that's been freshly repaired at 100% of the private landowner's expense, but does not receive any type of federal money right now because it's not operated as a public entity anymore. We've also been in long discussions with Army Corps of Engineers. They have three programs they'd really like to work with us on. Probably the most important to us immediately is Public Law 84 and 99. Public Law 8489 is a levy certification program, is where the watershed district would upgrade the levies according to core standards. They would come in and tell us what they want. After levies are certified, then the Corps of Engineers has an 80-20 cost share. If the levy breaches, they pick up 80% of the repair bills. All we're asking is we need a path forward so that we can renew operations of the Lower Big Sioux River Watershed District, so we can get to work locally with our neighbors and start making effective changes to protect public infrastructure, private homeowners, and private landowners. And thank you, members of the committee, for listening to me today.
Thank you. Further proponents? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Bill Curry. I reside in Elk Point, South Dakota. My family has been in Elk Point since 1861 when we homesteaded, and I farm with my brother and myself in the Elk Point area. We are asking you to pass this bill because our neighbors are getting flooded. We have these levees that continue to blow. When we have these high rain events, which has happened in the last 10 years, there's an angst and anguish of how fast the water comes up, how fast the levee could break. I am also the secretary treasurer of the Lewis and Ditch. We have been in existence since the Dakota Territory was created, and it's been a taxed ditch association run through an advisory committee, which I'm part of, and we contact the commissioners, give them a letter once a year. We determine how much money was spent, how much land was involved. There's 15,000 acres in that. And if you look in that picture, that's the end of our drainage system where it goes into the Sioux River. And we've done a favorable job trying to get it to drain. The FEMA money has been available every time we have a rain event that is a disaster created by the designated by the governor. And it's worked well for us, and we want to continue that and try and do this with the Lower Big Sioux Watershed District. And that ends what I need to tell you. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Further proponents? Go ahead. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Michael Held, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Farm Bureau. We rise in support of 1166 as amended. We believe that natural resources like watersheds are best managed and run at the most local level. They operate best because that's where the people running it live and farm and have their business, and that's why this is a good concept. Secondly, some districts thought they had accomplished what they wanted to get done 30 and 40 years ago and have fallen by the wayside. And now with the kind of excess rainfalls we've had in eastern South Dakota, we hear from one district, but I would suspect that if this goes forward, there may be some others that want to undertake additional projects in their watershed. We think 1166 as amended is the cleanest, most direct route to make that happen. We support the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Jay Gilbertson, the registered lobbyist for the East Dakota Water Development District, and I too rise in support of 1166 as amended. As has been noted, down in the southeastern part, there's a district that would like to get started for very good reasons. And as Mr. Held noted, I think there are other now dormant districts across the state that, given current conditions, would appreciate a path to returning to functionality. And we believe that is what 1166 represents, and would ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? House Bill 1166. Any opponents to House Bill 1166? Seeing none, we'll waive rebuttal and move to committee questions or discussion or action. Senator Kamak.
I move to pass on House Bill 1166.
Second.
We have a do-pass motion on House Bill 1166 as amended by Senator Kamak, second by Senator Duhamel. Any comments on your motion?
I think that the pictures that were handed out give a very graphic reason why we should allow these folks to move forward. It's the ultimate example of local control and folks taking into their own hands the solution to a problem.
Thank you. I would also add my thanks and compliments to a job well done on this. This is really quite thorough and really some of us enjoy pictures more than and so it's very helpful. Thank you. Okay, the motion before the committee is do pass on House Bill 1166 as amended. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Would the secretary please call the roll?
Senator Kamak.
Aye.
Hewing.
Aye.
Shane Fish.
Aye.
Wismer.
Aye.
Youngberg, excused. Duhamel.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye. Okay. House Bill 1166, having received a majority vote of the committee, is hereby passed. And we will pass that down to the floor on the consent calendar. Oh, it does have it. Oh, that's right. Okay, therefore, it will not be on the consent calendar. Who would like to carry that on the floor?
Mr. Chair.
Okay, very good. Shane Fish, thank you very much. Okay, next up before the committee is House Bill 1182 to provide for the renewal of an enhanced permit to carry a concealed pistol. Any proponents on that? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee. This morning I bring you House Bill, Representative Tom Bruner, District 29. House Bill 1182. What this does is kind of clarifies the whole process for renewing your enhanced permit to carry a concealed weapon. When we brought in the enhanced language 5 years ago, we didn't spend a lot of time on the renewal process because we knew that that kind of evolves with other states, with the reciprocity process, that we had 5 years to work this out, and now we're down, you know, down the road where we need to clarify it. And the reason we've changed it is basically because of reciprocity. What this does is when you go to renew your enhanced, it lays out the process. A couple of the changes are only allows for 30 days after you're expired, but you can renew up to 6 months, 180 days before. So knowing that you have to take a class or at least part of a class and do your handgun course again too. Basically, we've spelled out that it doesn't have to be the whole class. It can be just receive instruction regarding the use of force and any relevant criminal statute changes. I think it's pretty fair to say that if you're going to have an enhanced permit, that the use of force is huge. I mean, we need to really pay attention to that and the changes. That changes pretty rapidly in some other states. And the whole process here is based around the fact that other states are going to require more than just coming in and paying a little fee and doing it. This is about reciprocity and keeping us whole with these other states. The other fact is that, you know, we've used this bill, this law, to build as a basis for other for things, perhaps you know, capital carry. And quite frankly, if somebody is in this building with me carrying a concealed weapon under this law, I would like to know that every 5 years they qualify, at least pull it out and show an instructor that they know how to use it. So I think, you know, this toughens it up a little bit. I mean, you can't just come in and renew, and I think certainly covers the reciprocity part of it, and I think it gives us a lot of peace of mind to keep it a little bit tougher, go through the fingerprints again, do all that, and so with that, I would just ask your favorable support. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents on House Bill 1182? Good morning.
Good morning, Chairman Jensen, members of the Senate Local Government Committee. Emily Kerr, Secretary of State's office. I'm the Director of the Division of Business Services. And the Secretary sends his apologies. We have several bills going on today and lots of activity at the Capitol. And he's sorry that he couldn't be here in person. I just wanted to say that our office rises in support of House Bill 1182 and the requirements to include this type of training with the enhanced permit. Reciprocity is very important. There are seven additional states that recognize our enhanced permit. Three of them require training for renewal in their own states with permits, including one of the biggest ones for our state is Minnesota. And so we think it's key. We contacted Minnesota, and of course they were reluctant to give a position, but we think it's important to be in the best favorable position to maintain reciprocity for our enhanced permit holders with Minnesota and the other enhanced states. And so again, our office supports this bill, and I'll stand by for any questions.
Thank you. Further proponents on House Bill 1182. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Rob Weimeister, Department of Public Safety. We also support this bill. Obviously, with the enhanced being needed to carry in the Capitol, the additional requirements that are needed to do the renewal, we think is good for safety reasons. So we're in favor of it as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? House Bill 1182. Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1182? Seeing none, we'll waive rebuttal and move to committee questions, discussions, or action. Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would move do pass.
We have a do pass motion on House Bill 1182 by Senator Ewing, second by Senator Duhamel. Any comments on your motion? Okay. I'm going to, normally I support bills like this, but I'm going to be voting against this just on principle that I don't think we should be having to pay for our Second Amendment rights and to exercise them. So having said that, would the Secretary please call the roll? Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, nay. Go ahead.
Senator Kamak.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Shane Fish.
Aye.
Wismer.
Aye.
Youngberg excused.
Duhamel.
Aye.
Jensen.
No. Okay, House Bill 1182, having received a majority vote of the committee, is hereby passed. Who would like to carry that on the floor?
Senator Greenfield is prime.
Senator Greenfield, okay, very good. Thank you so much. Okay. Next up is House Bill 1242, to provide for the reissuance of certain enhanced permits to carry a concealed pistol and to declare an emergency.
Good morning, Mr. Good morning. Chair and committee. Representative Tom Bruner again. 1242, I bring you the Secretary of State's office asked me to address this. What happened was several years ago after we did the enhanced the FBI and the NICS check were lagged a little bit behind, and then came the gold card that allows you basically to use that card for purchasing firearms. So you could bypass the background check and whatever. And we realized that all those provisions would be in the enhanced carry. So what we did back then, 4 years ago, I believe, is allow you to get reissued your enhanced carry with a new issuance date on it of, January or December 31st. You could get it reissued. That way it would be, it wouldn't be a renewal, but just a reissuance of your card. Well, that window is passed, and it's causing a little confusion out there because some people looking at it says, well, we can renew with this. And That wasn't the purpose at all to do that. So that window is passed, and we need to close it. And the emergency clause is on there because we need to close it now. Some sheriffs are having to deal with this issue as people look at it and wonder if they can use it to renew. And basically we don't need that law anymore, and it just kind of takes it away. But with that, I would ask your favorable vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents, House Bill 1242. Good morning again.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Again, Emily Kerr, Secretary of State's office. Our office asked, we talked to some legislators, and we appreciate Representative Bruner bringing this forward to close what we felt was a loophole. Our office felt it was fair at the time to keep up with the legal changes and compliance to make these people that had permits that were unexpired, that we would reissue them at no charge. Well, now it's coming time, 5 years, most people under a permit would pay the fee and renew, and we just want to have them meet the same requirements as others with this type of permit renewing instead of getting 9 or 10 years out of a permit, and that's part of why it has an emergency clause. So they have had 2-3 years to get this permit reissued at no charge, but we feel it's appropriate right now to close the loophole and put them under the same type of renewal requirements for other people with this class of permit. So again, our office rises in support, and we would appreciate a yes vote on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Rob Weinmeister, Department of Public Safety. As stated already by the previous two proponents, that for safety reasons, we also support this bill. So, thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents, House Bill 1242. Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1142? Seeing none, we'll waive rebuttal and move to committee questions, discussion, or action. Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move do pass.
We have a do pass motion by Senator Ewing, a second by Senator Duhamel. Do pass on House Bill 1242. All those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed nay. Would the Secretary please call the roll?
Senator Kamak.
Aye.
Ewing.
Aye.
Shane Fish.
Aye.
Wismer.
Aye.
Youngberg excused. Duhamel.
Aye.
Jensen.
Aye. House Bill 1242, having received a majority vote of the committee, is hereby passed. No, it's got an emergency clause on it. Okay, any further business this committee would like to address before we entertain a motion to adjourn?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Kamak.
Quick comment. Thank you for the late start.
No problem. Enjoy doing that whenever we can.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, we have a motion to adjourn by Senator Duhamel, second by Senator Kamak. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed nay. We are adjourned.